So, the topic is grape juice at the Seder. And the questions I want to focus on are whether one may use grape juice for the second, third, and fourth cup. That's your first round of questions. Then to add to the question, are you allowed to use grape juice for the first cup at the Seder? And then the question of whether there's an advantage to using grape juice of a particular color. Does it matter which color grape juice you use? And if so, what are you able to do on Yom Tov to get the color that you want if your grape juice is not the right color? There are two questions I'm not going to address just because there's so much material and we have limited time. So I gave you references on the top of the sheet. Rabbi Chaim or Howard Jachter in New Jersey has written up a series of three articles on the grape juice topics, the various grape juice topics, and there are multiple copies there. And you can look there for discussions about, number one, whether you make a bar priya guffin on wine that is mevushel, which comes into the grape juice discussion, as we'll see, as well as, bless you, the question of whether you can use grape juice from concentrate for Kiddush. Often it is from concentrate, and therefore there's a certain amount of water involved. So I decided to omit those two questions because, for the most part, we've answered them halachically. In other words, I don't know of anybody who, number one, will not make a bar priya guffin on Yayin Mevushel. We'll make a shahakol on Yayin Mevushel. I don't think we have those Jews. That's number one. And number two, I think generally speaking, people do use grape juice from concentrate for Kiddush. So the question really is what to do with these other questions. Yes, Ellie.
So are you saying that there's an advantage to having Yayin not Mevushel?
Yeah. And we're going to see that.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, not in terms of the bar priya guffin. That discussion I'm not doing, but in general, absolutely. Absolutely.
But you can't do that if you have non-Jews in the Seder, right?
Well, that creates problems. There are also other issues with having a non-Jew at a Yom Tov meal.
Right.
But that's its own discussion. Now, I should note that nothing of what I'm going to say is relevant for somebody who has alcoholic tendencies or history. Such a person absolutely should not be drinking wine, beginning, middle, end of discussion. Ramosha has a tshuva, in which he deals with a case in which somebody isn't able to have. I'm blanking now on what the situation was. It wasn't the celiac case, but it was a similar case, a case in which somebody is not able to have whatever it is that the mitzvah obligates them to have. And his answer is, okay, so it's onis. That's it. They're out. So if somebody's health would be endangered by having wine, there isn't a conversation to be had. The question is, what about for the rest of the world? So, first of all, in order to have this conversation, we need to define grape juice. What exactly is grape juice? So, basic chemistry, when you squeeze juice from grapes, you get yeast in the juice. There's yeast on the skins of the grapes. There's yeast ambient in the air, frankly. But the yeast gets into the juice, and it digests the sugar that's in the juice, and it processes it and produces alcohol. And that's a period lasts about 5 to 14 days, and it's called fermentation. Fermentation stops when the level of alcohol in the juice gets somewhere around 16%. I've seen different estimates, as low as 14%, as high as 18 to 20%. But basically, that's why the wines that you see, are basically 12, 13, 14% as a general rule. Your first round of fermentation stops when it gets to that level because that kills the yeast. The alcohol is toxic to the yeast at that stage. What can then happen next is that other organisms which are just fine with the alcohol will come in and they're going to process what's there and convert it into acetic acid, which is also known as
vinegar,
correct. That's how you get. That's how your wine goes bad with this second level fermentation. So, historically, if you wanted to have grape juice, which is to say, grape juice which did not ferment, so you didn't even go that first round of fermentation, you really only had two options. Option number one was to use the juice early on before fermentation would convert the sugar into alcohol. So you get there fast enough, and then it doesn't convert into wine. And the other option was to kill the yeast. So how do you kill yeast? You take it with a hammer and you whack. And the, No. You might add chemicals. Potassium metabisulfite is one that's popular to kill the yeast. That's one approach. Second approach is to heat up the juice. If the juice reaches temperatures that are north of 95, 100 degrees Fahrenheit, basically human body temperature, at that point it will halt fermentation. You could also do it with cold, but historically they didn't have the ability technologically to do that. You could do it if you lower it below 50 degrees Fahrenheit, about 10 degrees Celsius. You'll also halt fermentation, but that wasn't happening in the ancient Middle East. What you did have, though, was the potential for heat. Now you take your juice, you put it in a clay jug, and it gets hot just from the environment around it. They used to store it in the ground to keep it from getting too hot. But that would be a way that you could halt fermentation. And then the third possibility would be to add alcohol to it, which of course defeats the purpose in terms of having grape juice. But the other way to do it is if you artificially inflate the level of alcohol in it, then you're going to kill the yeast because you've already reached your 14%, 16%, or whatever it is. The advantage to doing this is that then the natural sugars are still there in the juice. So it'll be a sweeter, you get a sweeter wine. If you pump up the level of alcohol in the beginning to kill the yeast, then you have all the sugar that didn't convert to alcohol, plus you have the alcohol. So you get a sweet wine. So that's historically the way you had grape juice. Now, I stress that because what it means is the only time you're going to find grape juice in classic halachic literature is if you're talking about fresh grapes, bless you, that have been pressed. They weren't halting fermentation. They were not adding powders systematically. There was such a thing as a powder that was used in Roman times. But generally speaking, you weren't creating grape juice. The only time you had grape juice was if you used juice straight from the grape. So you don't have a whole lot of halachic literature on the question of grape juice. Right, there's no fridge. You can't preserve it. So there's no halachic literature on the topic to speak of after the original discussion in the Gemara about using juice straight from the grape for things like the menachos poured on the mizbeach. However, that changes in the modern age. And for this we can thank the American Methodists. The Methodists, in the latter part of the 19th century, officially in 1864, but I gather this was a movement that was developing for some time, decided that they wanted non-alcoholic wine for communion. They believed in temperance, the idea of staying away from alcohol, and so they said, we don't want to use alcoholic wine. So they made a decree, officially in 1864, that you can't use wine. And so what would happen is every week they would freshly stomp the grapes and produce juice, and that was what they would use for communion. Well, in 1868, you find a fellow by the name of Thomas Welch. Yes, he of the famous Welches. Thomas Welch originally was a pastor who was frustrated as a pastor because he had throat problems. So he then became a dentist. It's a different type of tooth extraction. So Thomas Welch, in his dentistry work, comes across Louis Pasteur's technique of pasteurization, heating things up in order to kill germs. And he says, hey, we can do that to kill the yeast that is causing the fermentation that's turning the grape juice into wine. And so that's what he does. He heats up the grape juice, and that way he's able to create grape juice for the Methodist churches. That's where grape juice begins its modern existence. From there, it starts to spread as a health drink, particularly with the 1893 World's Fair in Chicago, where it's marketed as a health drink. And in the Jewish community, it becomes an issue primarily in 1920, because in 1920, the American government creates prohibition. And even though the government says you're allowed to use wine for sacramental purposes, and they give a license to Jews to use it for religious rituals, there are many Jews who are uncomfortable. The Reform movement in the United States petitioned the American government to take away our exemption. They didn't want us to have the exemption because it makes us look barbaric. Everybody else is staying away from wine, and here we are having wine in our rituals. The conservative movement was on the fence until Louis Ginsberg, the professor of Talmud at JTS, issued a major response, which made it into the American newspapers in the early 1920s, explaining that grape juice would be valid for Kiddush. His response still exists. It's available today. The Orthodox movement, on the other hand, says absolutely not. We're continuing to use wine. There were some issues potentially also with some moonshine activities in the Orthodox community. That's another discussion. But the bottom line is that prohibition raises the question of, are you able to use grape juice for halachic rituals? And there are two primary reasons for this question. Based on what we've described about grape juice, what would create the question of whether grape juice could be used? What is it about grape juice that raises this question? Just based on the discussion we've had so far, what about this makes it different from wine?
No alcohol.
Right, so one, it's not alcoholic. Maybe we require alcohol as part of the mitzvah. And then number two, it's cooked. Right, it's heated in order to halt the fermentation, and maybe that changes its status. I said we're not going to discuss whether you make a bar briyah guffin on wine that is mevushel, but we will have to ask the question of whether wine that is mevushel is acceptable for the four cups, whether it's acceptable for the latter three, or as I said in the beginning, whether it's acceptable for the first one, which is also kiddush. So there's a very interesting historical argument that it is said Rav Moshe Feinstein made. Take a look at source number one, Yerushalmi and Shabbos. Talking about Kiddush. Rabbi Yona Omer Yotzin B'Yayin Mevushel. Rabbi Yona says, you can use Yayin Mevushel. Rabbi Yona Kidate. Rabbi Yona followed his own view. To Rabbi Yona Shasi Arbati Kasi Delele Pischa V'Chazak Reshe Aratzarta. Because Rabbi Yona used to drink the four cups Pesach night, and he had such a headache, he had a headache until Shavuos. So he said, you could use Mevushel. The Rabbi Yehuda Bray Rabbi Eloi, he drank the four cups and he had a headache until Sukkos. So the argument goes, Rav Moshe Feinstein is quoted in the Kol Dodi Haggadah as arguing, these Tanaim had such bad headaches, if they could have used grape juice, wouldn't they have used grape juice?
Well, the question is, maybe Yayin Mevushel means grape juice now, according to what we just said.
Right, so Rav Moshe thinks it's not, and he says, doesn't the fact that they don't mention using grape juice, instead they deal with these headaches when they didn't need headaches. He's assuming the headache is alcohol triggered.
What does Yayin Mevushel even mean? What's the relevance of that?
How does
that?
Wine,
why would
wine?
He drink that? What does he mean? Yotzin B'Yayin Mevushel.
Right. So I didn't want to get into the Yerushalmi because of the question of whether it's talking about Kiddush or whether it's talking about the four cups. So I'm going to hold off.
He's saying Yotzin B'Yayin Mevushel seems to have some advantage for his headache. But what advantage would it have if it's already alcoholic?
Is it lesser alcoholic?
No.
It's not.
Unless you boiled it
right away.
The fermentation process. Unless that's the story. But Rav Moshe didn't think so.
It wasn't his pshat in the Gemara.
No. Rav Moshe's read of the Gemara is that they're not using grape juice, and he says if they had grape juice, he said if grape juice was an option, surely they should have used it.
Is that
they could have just watered it down. Can't use water it down. Also.
Well, no, that would
like grape juice, like orange juice.
Well, that's its own halachic question about how much water are you allowed to add.
What's the grape juice?
Right, so that's the question. The simple read of this is that it would be something that you cooked in order to halt the fermentation process. But as I said, Rav Moshe doesn't think so. Rav Moshe doesn't believe so. He makes the argument that they would have used they would have used grape juice if that were halachically acceptable.
Do we have a word for grape juice?
Usually it's Yayin Migita, wine straight out of the press,
that's right.
Because that was the normal case of grape juice in those days. So the Rav is quoted as having responded that the reason they didn't use grape juice was because grape juice wasn't available. In other words, he agreed with Rav Moshe that Yayin Mevushel here is not grape juice. But he said it's because they didn't have it. You can't prove anything from them not using something that they didn't have. Okay. But let's get to beyond this particular historical question. Are you allowed to use grape juice for cups 2, 3, and 4? Which are just the issue of the arba kosos. They're not Kiddush. So this is an issue not just for men, it's an issue for women as well, you should know, because we say that Arba Kosos is for men and for women, because Afein Hayu Bo Sohanes, the women are also part of this, the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Whatever that line means, that's its own discussion. They were suffering also, they're part of what got us out, however you read that that line. So what are the criteria for the Arba Kosos? All we know is that Ayat Letakana, the Gemara says, the rabbis established that you're supposed to have 4 cups of wine. So what exactly defines something as wine for this purpose? So there are two issues. Issue number one is the idea of requiring wine, which is chashuv, which is significant. If you take a look at source number 2, the Gemara says, Shesan Chai Yatsa, if you drink the wine undiluted, remember that in their day, they used to dilute the wine. They used to have, what was it, 2 parts water, 1 part wine, 3 parts water, 1 part wine. If you drink it undiluted, you still fulfill your obligation, says the opening view. Amar Rava, Rava says no. Yidei yayin yatsa, you fulfilled wine. Yidei cheirus lo yatsa, but you did not fulfill freedom. Freedom you did not get. What do you mean? So the Rashbam writes on this in number 3. Kolomar, ein zu mitzvah shlema. This is not the complete mitzvah. She'ein chashivus ela b'yayin mazuk. There is no significance. There is no stature to such a wine if it's a straight wine. You have to dilute it. That's real wine. That's what people respect. V'hani mili b'yeno shalahen. And this is talking about their wine. D'darwa chad tzlas maya. Because they would dilute it 1 to 3. Water to, wine to water. Aval yeno shalanu labo mizika. But our wine does not require dilution. So the point here, the statement that the Gemara is making is that you can't use undiluted wine because it doesn't demonstrate freedom. And Rashbam says what that means is this wine is not considered to be chashuv. This is not wine that's considered to be prestigious. I found a support for this idea in the Maharil. If you take a look at source number 4. The Maharil discusses something completely different. You can see, I referenced it there, that he's in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. He's having a completely different conversation. The reason why my head was in the Maharil is going to come back later on. We'll see this Maharil multiple times in this year. But he's dealing there with the following question. What if you have 2 wines on Rosh Hashanah, on the second night of Rosh Hashanah? You want to make a Shechianu. What's our problem with Shechianu on the second night of Rosh Hashanah?
It's a Yom Arichta.
Right, because Rosh Hashanah is considered one long day. So therefore, maybe I shouldn't be able to make a Shechianu on the second night of Rosh Hashanah. So usually we'll have a new garment, or we'll have a new food, or whatever it is, and that way we cover our Shechianu. So the Maharil deals with somebody who's going to have 2 kinds of wine, one for Kiddush, and one for Shechianu. And one of his wines is an aged wine, and one of them is a grape juice, fresh out of the grape, what he calls Tirosh. So which one should you use for Kiddush, and which one should you use for your Shechianu? That's his question. So he says, Yesh poskim, some say, Sheyase kol ha-kiddush akos yayin yasham, that you should do the entire Kiddush on the old wine. Velo atirosh, not on this grape juice. Why? Deha atirosh eino motzi es hayashan mi birchaso, because tirosh does not fulfill the bracha need for the old wine. Why not? Kiddush of Yerushalmi, like the Yerushalmi says, there's actually some difficulty finding exactly this Yerushalmi, but this is his quote. Balo yayin yashan besocha seuda, if aged wine is brought in the middle of a meal, yivarech shenis, you make a new bracha. Aval pishakar birech ala chadash, even though you already made a bracha on newer wine. So old wine always requires a bracha unto itself. The Kaven the Yayin Ayashan Koveya Bracha La Atzma, since old wine warrants its own bracha, Chashuvu, it's considered important, Umukdam La Kiddush, and that's what should come first in terms of Kiddush. Ukshimagia Leolomer is not, and then when you get to the Shrianu, as Yispos Kosiyain Khadash Biado, then hold the new wine in your hand. Veloni Hiraminagzeh. Then the Mariel says, I don't like all this. He's not a fan of this general approach for reasons that we'll get to. But the point is, and the reason why I bring this now, is to say that he defines the significance of the wine based on the bracha, and he says that old wine, as opposed to grape juice, warrants a bracha that demonstrates that it is in fact more important than grape juice. Clear?
What does this do with the first point?
That Rashbam said, when we said undiluted wine doesn't work for Cheirus, it's because it's not considered chashuv. It's not considered significant.
It's hot wine.
That's talking about bona fide wine. But the point is, now I have a source which says that that this new wine, the grape juice, also is in chashuv. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, I don't think he invoked this Maharil, but Rav Moshe Feinstein says grape juice is not chashuv. It's not considered prestigious. It doesn't have alcohol in it. It is not considered prestigious. That's an argument. And I think it's probably a correct argument, just sociologically, in terms of what we call prestigious. Right? I mean, if you have company over, right, and you want to bring out a nice bottle of something, you don't bring out the grape juice. That's not considered to be something to bring out for the guest. You go over to somebody's house, you want to bring them a bottle of something. See, if they have little kids, you can bring them sparkling grape juice. But otherwise, it's not what you bring over. There's an element of prestige involved in wine that you don't see in grape juice. Maybe it's just because grape juice isn't expensive enough yet. Let the supermarkets drive up the price of grape juice a little more, and maybe it'll be a different conversation. Yes?
Is the Maharil suggesting that you actually make use of two types of wine, and then you go ahead and make the second bracha, you make the zman on the new wine and then drink it?
Well, the kiddush is only on the old wine.
Right.
The kiddush is on the old one, and then you make your shachianu with the new one. Correct.
Is this what he's going to drink?
I have two cups on the table. I'm going to do kiddush on the old wine, and then I'm going to make my shachianu on the new one.
And drink.
Ostensibly, but I'm not sure which one you end up drinking. Because there's a whole other question within Shachianu of whether you have to drink it right then or whether it's on seeing it that's already significant. I'm not sure what he has in mind. But that's one reason why grape juice may be considered inadequate for the four cups. You need something that is prestigious, that is chashuv. The other argument is that grape juice doesn't bring joy. Again, back in source number 5, the Gemara in Psachim, in that same sugya, Shesan Bevas Achas, if you drink all four cups at once, get it all over with. You have your four cups right away, one after the other, after the other, after the other. So Rav Amar Yedei Yayin Yatsa, Yedei Arbakosas Lo Yatsa. So Rav says, Yashikoach, you drank four cups of wine, but you did not fulfill the mitzvah of the Arbakosos. So what exactly did you fulfill here when you say you fulfilled wine? What were you fulfilling? So the Rashbam in source number 6 says, Yidei Yayin Yatza, what did you fulfill with wine? Mishum Simchas Yom Tov. You fulfilled the joy of Yom Tov. Like the Brisa says, you fulfill the joy of Yom Tov with wine. So there's an element of joy that you actually fulfill. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in Mikroi Kodesh Pesach says that you need, he says, we see from here that you need simcha in order to fulfill the four cups. I have to be honest, I don't actually see that that's what's being said here. Meaning, what it sounds to me like Rashbam is saying is you fulfill simcha by drinking wine, right? Separate from, but you don't fulfill the arbakosos just as you ingested wine, you need something else. But that doesn't prove that simcha is a requirement of the arbakosos. I was not clear at all that that's what Rashbam was saying. However, there is a Tosfos that may be more supportive in source number 7. Yidei Yayin Yatza, Perish Yidei Simchas Yom Tov. He starts off the same way that Rashbam does. You fulfilled Simchas Yom Tov. Tisal Kadait, and we think Hoel v'tiknu arba koso, since they established that you need to do four cups, lo nafik midei simchas yom tov, elim kein yatsa yidei arba kosos. You do not complete your obligation for simchas yom tov unless you also fulfill the four cups. So that leads you more in the direction of saying that simcha is tied into the four cups. You need something that creates joy. And Ritzvi Pesach Frank says, you want to know what creates joy? Alcohol. I don't know how long that joy lasts, but that's what he says. He says, alcohol will induce joy, and there are various sources you can bring to support it. There's a Rashi here in source number 8, which speaks about the pauper drinking wine, lefachuche fachde, to get rid of his tension and his anxiety. Laafig da gusso, to eliminate his worry. Shadoeg alamos, he's worried about money. Dechsivi yayin yisamach, the Pasuk says, wine will create joy. So that's the idea, and Ritzvi Pesach Frank seeks to prove this from the Gemara in Tanis, which I didn't bring you on the sheet. The Gemara in Tanis, Daf Lamed, talks about what you're allowed to have at the Suda Hamafsekes before Tisha B'Av. Right? Until this past year, we had a Tisha B'Av. This past year, Tisha B'Av was on a Sunday. It was observed on a Sunday, so there was no Suda Masekes. But the year before that, when Tisha B'Av wasn't a Sunday, you had a last meal before Tisha B'Av. And the question is, what do you eat at that meal? And the Gemara Tanis says freshly pressed wine is okay at that meal. So it's Tanis Daf Lamed. So Tzvi Pesach Frank says, you see that it's not considered to be joyous. Otherwise it wouldn't be good at that meal. However, it's worth noting that Rashi on that Gemara in Tanis says that the reason why it's okay for the Seuda is because it's inferior and may be bad for you. That's the reason. In any case, your two arguments against grape juice for the latter three cups are, it's not prestigious, and it doesn't bring joy. So Rabbi Jaster, in his article on this, points out, quoting Rabbi Menachem Ginnack, that there's room to argue that grape juice does qualify as joyous, despite the lack of alcohol, because it's allowed for menachos. You can pour it on the Mizbeach, and it counts as a libation on the altar, on the Mizbeach. If you take a look at source number 9, Amar Zitra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav, Ein Omrim Kiddush Hayom, Ela Al Hayayin Haroi Linasech Agavei HaMizbeach. You only make Kiddush on wine that could be used in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara asks, Lema'udei Mai, what are you excluding by saying that? Ilema Lema'udei Yayin Migito, if you think you're excluding wine straight out of the press, in other words, grape juice. Va'atani Rabbi Chia says, Yayin Migito Lo Yavi V'mehevi Kasher. If you bring wine from your press in the Beis HaMikdash, you are Yotze. It's still kosher. The Kevedim Hevi Kasher, Anana Fil Lechatchila Nami. If it's kosher B'dievet on the Mizbeach, it's good Lechatchila for Kiddush. The Amar Rava, because Rava said, Sochet Adam Eshkol Shlanavim Ba'omer Olav Kiddush Hayom. You can squeeze a bunch of grapes and make Kiddush on that.
Yeah. Kiddush Hayom doesn't mean Kiddush Rav.
No, it means Friday night. Kiddush Hayom doesn't mean Kiddush of the daytime. It means the mitzvah of Kiddush, correct. So the message here is that you can use it on the Mizbeach, but the Nisachim are supposed to be Mesameach. They're supposed to create joy. That's in Rashi and Menachos Daf Chaf. It's also explicit Pasuk in Tanakh. If you remember the story of Yotam, in Shoftim, in Perek Tes, right? Remember the story of Avimelech? Avimelech kills 69 out of his 70 half-brothers in order to get get power in the city of Shechem. The one who survives is Yotam, and Yotam rebukes everybody, and he gives Mashal Ha'ilanot, the parable of the trees. And he talks about the trees trying to coronate different trees as kings, and ultimately choosing the thorn to rule over them, and that's what Avimelech is like. But along the way, he imagines them going to the grape and saying to the grape, you should rule over us. And the grape says, am I going to stop producing my wine, which gladdens God and man? And all the Mefarshim there, almost all the Mefarshim there, say, what does it mean, gladdening God and man? It means the wine that you pour on the Mizbeach for the Mincha gladdens God and man. So it brings joy. And yet, the Gemara here in Bava Basra says, you can use grape juice on the Mizbeach. So grape juice does produce joy. So you have the argument that grape juice isn't prestigious. You have the argument that grape juice doesn't produce joy, but then the argument that maybe it does. But Rav Soloveitchik said, you're missing the point. Take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, source number 10. The Rambam writes, Arba kosos ha'elu tzarech limzog osan kidei shetia shesia areva. The Rambam writes, you have to dilute the four cups in such a way that the drinking will be pleasant. Hakol lefi hayayin lefi das ha'shosa. Based on what the wine is, how strong it is, and based on the person drinking it. So there's a key element, which is, you have to like it. And so what you have is a machlokas in which Rav Moshe Feinstein, as quoted in the Kol Dodi Haggadah, and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in Mikroi Kodesh, said not to use grape juice. Rav Soloveitchik said, absolutely not. If you like it, that's what you drink. And on that basis, he used grape juice for the latter three cups. Take a look at source number 11. The Rav's practice as described in Nefesh HaRav. The Al Pizet, based on this, I added in brackets, meaning based on the Rambam's words that we had in number 10. Heir Rabbeinu, She'elu Shlonen and Mishasiya Sayayin. He says, the Rav argued that those who don't enjoy wine, Umitzanavim, Yosenochlam, grape juice is better for them. La mitzvah menamufcha yeshlam likach mitzanavim laharbakozos. For the best, for the ideal mitzvah, they should take grape juice. That way it'll be pleasant for them. And not just the Rav. Take a look at source number 12 at the firepower who are quoted here by Rav Sternbach and Shuvas Van Hagos. He says what emerges from our words is Shalahalacha Ha'ikar Sheyotzin B'yayin Mavushal. You can fulfill it with the ayin mevushal, which we start to talk about. Umitzvasa kein lechatchila. That's lechatchila for a cholef, for an elderly person, someone who doesn't like wine, for women, all these people, whoever it is who's not going to get a kick out of wine, who doesn't like wine, ein lehem lehachmir. I don't know, he did a survey of women to determine how many women like wine and don't like wine. That's what he says. But then he says, Ugdola Yisrael, kimo, hagon mitshevin. As well as, who's he quoting? Grizas. I'm blanking. I'm not sure who Grizas is. I used to know. All right. As well as the Chazorish, Nagu lahakel b'mitz anavim gam la'arba kosos. The Chazorish felt like grape juice is okay for the four cups. I really don't think there's anything else you need to debate. You have the Rav, you have the Chazorish, and you have the Chaviner. All of them accepting grape juice. He says, Ein lepakpik bazeh. There's no more room to argue this point. Rak lefid devarenu, but based on what he wrote before this, he says, "Imu bari, if you're healthy, roy lo lahadir shishtad elishos yain gum, where it's good for you to try to have real wine. Oa koponim la arev hametzim yain sheitam chazak shol yain, or maybe mix a little wine in so you have some of the edge associated with wine." Okay, so this is talking about the latter three cups. We didn't deal yet with the first cup. Because the first cup isn't only the Arba Kosos. The first cup is also Kiddush. So you might say to me, well, why is this even a question? Didn't we already address this back in source number 9? Right? Where we said, Yayin Mihito is good. Wine from the press is valid. Why is there any discussion at all about this? In truth, there is a Magen Avraham which is very interesting. Take a look at source number 13. Yeah. Maybe. We'll get back to him. It sounds like he did, but he didn't. So in number 13, you find the Shulchan Aruch statement. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Yayin Migito Mekadshin Olav. He's talking about Kiddush Friday night. You can use wine straight out of the press for Kiddush. Meaning grape juice. V'sochet adam eshkol shel anavim. You can squeeze out a bunch of grapes. V'omer lab kiddush ayom. And say kiddush on that basis. I mean, that's an overt quote from number 9, right? Our Gemara and Bava Basra. So it sounds like there's nothing else to discuss. Then you get this Magen Avraham in number 14. Yayin migito umikomako mitzvah b'yayin yashan. But he says, the mitzvah is to use aged wine, not to use grape juice. Kamosha Kasati Simon Tav Reish, as I wrote or will write in Simon Tav Reish. What is he talking about? What's in Simon Tav Reish in the Shulchan Aruch? In Aruch Chaim? What's Simon Tav Reish? What area of halacha?
Shabbos.
Rosh Hashanah. That's Rosh Hashanah. Now we're going to come back to our Maharil. In Aruch Chaim, a tough reish. He says that if you're using wine for both Kiddush and Shechianu on Rosh Hashanah, and you have new wine and old wine, you should use the old wine for Kiddush because that's better. That's what he says. And he says, I'm basing myself on the Minhagim of the Maharil. However, now we know what the Maharil was talking about. This is the point that Professor Ginsburg made in his response for the conservative movement. They go back to the Maharil in source number 4. When the Maharil said it's better to use the aged wine for Kiddush, right? And then the other one for Shechianu, was his reason because he doesn't like grape juice for Kiddush?
He just said it's more chashuv.
His reason wasn't that it was more chashuv. His reason was because of the bracha. His reason was because once you make a bracha His reason was because if you make the bracha on the new one, on grape juice, you still need to make a bracha on the old one. It didn't take care of the bracha. That was his reason for the order. Not because he believed that grape juice was no good for Kiddush. The Maharil wasn't making that point at all. And to cement it, hang on just one second, take a look at source number 15. To cement it, he points out that in the laws of Shabbos, the Maharil quotes Rav Shalom of Neustadt, who was his Rebbe, who said, "Amar Maharash Rashayin lekadesh lechatchila al yayin chadash migito kiddushan sochet adam eshkol shalanavim vaomer alav kiddush hayom." He says, "You bet you can use grape juice for kiddush lechatchila." V'chein hu ba'atzmo hayim mekadesh al nivtzer toch shvuayim gam imochim yayin yashin beir. Rav Shalom of Neustadt, even if he had wine available for purchase, would use grapes that had been harvested in the last 2 weeks. He didn't care. He used grape juice. So it seems fairly clear that Ginsburg is correct, that this is not a... This Magen Avraham seems to be a misreading of the Maharil. Yeah.
But what's the Maharil's reason for that he needs a second bracha? Like, what? He's quoting the Yerushalmi, right?
It's not a chashuv. The chashuv is the discussion for Kiddush. Chashuv was only in the discussion for Abrakosis because the Rashbam made it so. He said this is Cherus. There's no mitzvah Cherus when it comes to making Kiddush.
So we don't care about chashuv for Kiddush.
Like, no.
If you have an option of non-chashuv and chashuv, you could use a non-chashuv.
Yeah, I mean, there's always hider mitzvah. Is it more beautiful to use something that's more expensive or rare or whatever it is? But the requirement of chashuv is tied to Cherus, which isn't the Kiddush discussion. Yeah, because you did it yourself. So that's like what we said regarding the machine matzah. We quoted the Gemara and the Rosh, who said that you're better for you to make the matzah yourself, like the ani in Mitzrayim. So I don't know if that's chashuv now. It's chashuv that you're pretending to be an ani. I'm not sure how to parse the word chashuv at that point. But there's an element of demonstrating your love for the mitzvah. The only thing that I would say that I think that maybe argues on behalf of the Magen Avraham is, if it's so clear cut that grape juice is fine, why did the Maharil need to make a point of it? If it's so obvious that grape juice is fine, why did he need to quote Rav Shalom of Neustadt, and why did he need to bring me this whole thing about using grape juice? Obviously somebody thought it wasn't good. For the Mizbeach it is. For the Mizbeach it is, but then the Gemara says, we saw it explicitly, that if it's bidyeved for the Menachos, it's valid lechatchila for Kiddush. That was the quota number 9. Take a look. The Keva Dimhevi Kasher for the Menachos, anan afil lechatchila nami. Yeah, so for us it is good. However, despite this point about the Magen Avraham, and despite the fact that we have the approval of Bava Basra, there is a change. And the change is the fact that our grape juice is cooked. And going back to our Yerushalmi, not taking Yayin Mevushal as the way they got grape juice. Our grape juice is pasteurized. So does that now make it less good for Kiddush? So first of all, pasteurization may not qualify as Mevushal Bizmanenu. When we talk about the laws of Yayin Mevushal in terms of Kashrus, and whether you're allowed to drink the wine, the pasteurization may not qualify. There are three reasons that are brought for why it may not qualify. I'm only doing this very briefly because this is a shear in its own right. But Shlomo Zalman Auerbach argued that the reason why Mevushel works to permit wine is because it changes the taste of the wine. He based it on a Rashba, on a Meiri, other Rishonim, and in a contemporary process of pasteurization, the taste doesn't change noticeably. I did once speak to somebody who said he had consulted one of the big wine connoisseurs, not a Jewish fellow, one of the real experts who knows from what wine is supposed to taste like. His statement was that when you boil up the wine, what you do is you kill the element in it that over time will improve it as it, you know, as it ages. So your Mevushel wine isn't getting any better. From the day that you buy it until you drink it, whenever you drink it, it's not aging if it's Mevushel. But beyond that, it doesn't change the taste on a noticeable level. And I think that's true certainly for most of us people who drink wine. Yeah, I know that the yayin that's not Mevushel is better because people tell me it is. But that's about it. But that's number one. Second argument for why it wouldn't count as Mevushel, Rabbi Zion Abba Shaul said, is because the way they actually pasteurize wine, they don't want to lose what's evaporated. So they actually construct a set of pipes which return whatever evaporated into the wine. So nothing has changed. There's no change in the content of the wine, he argues. And then Rabbi Yashiv argues, and I think this is most simple, Rav Yashiv argues that the reason why Mevushel is okay is because it makes it an unusual wine. And the decree against the non-Mevushel wine won't apply to a case that's unusual, that's Lo Shtiach. However, once pasteurization becomes the norm, all wines are, not all wines, but most wines on the market are pasteurized. So at that point, it's no longer something unusual. He's not talking about disqualifying the whole concept of Yayin Mevushel. Pasteurization will not qualify as Mevushel. However, even if pasteurization does not qualify as Bishul for Kashrus purposes, pasteurized juice may still be disqualified for Kiddush, because it may still be disqualified for the Mizbeach. You may not be able to use it on the Mizbeach. Take a look on your sheet, please, at source number 16. First, we bring you Tosfos. Tosfos says you are able to use Mevushel for the four cups, and he brings you a Yerushalmi. Yeshlavi Rayim Yerushalmi Nishkalim with Arbe Psachim the Yayin Gomer Hu. He says, I can prove to you from the Yerushalmi that Yayin Mevushel is full blown wine. The Amar Hasam, because they say there, Arba Koso Sha'amru Yotzim be Yayin Mevushel. You can use Yayin Mevushel for the four cups. Alma Mekachne Yayin Mevushel. You see, you can make Kiddush on the four cups, on Mevushel, I should say, because after all, the first of them is. The first of the four cups is Kiddush. So he says that works. This Tosfos is having a separate discussion than you see in the next line about the issue of Shahakol and so on. But the point is that Tosfos says explicitly you can use Yayin Mevushel for Kiddush. That's Tosfos. The Rambam disagreed in source number 17. Rambam says, "Ein mekachin ela al hayayin haroy lenaseh chagabe hamizbeach." You can only use wine that is suitable for the mizbeach for kiddush, and therefore he says, if honey is mixed in or sourdough, or I don't know why sourdough, but if it gets mixed in, no, you can't use it for kiddush. And then he continues to say, if you jump down in the Rambam, the Yeshmi, in the middle of the second line, the Yeshmi Shematir Lakadesh Alav, some say you may use these other wines that we mentioned, the sweetened wine and such, for Kiddush. The Omer Lonemra Yayin Aroy Lenasech Agabe Mizbeach, the disqualification of, you can only use wine that's suitable for the Mizbeach, is only meant Lahutzi Yayin Sherecho Ra, as if it has a bad odor, O Megula, or was left open, that's a whole other discussion, O Mevushel, She'ein Mekachin Alechad Mehen. You can't use Mevushel, says the Rambam, for Kiddush. So Rav Yosef Karo, in his Beis Yosef and Arachayim Reishayin Aleph, notes that most Rishonim agree with Tosfos. And And in the Shulchan Aruch in Reish Ayin Beis, I brought it for you in source number 18, he agrees with Tosfos. Mekadshin al Yayin Mevushol val Yayin Sheyesh bo Dvash. He says you're allowed to use Yayin Mevushol for Kiddush, and you're allowed to use Yayin wine that has been sweetened with honey. The Yesh Omrim, that would be the Rambam, Shein Mekadshin alayim. That's his position. The Rama in the same source, Haggah, says Vaminog Lakadesh Allah Vafilu Yeshlo Yayin Acher Rak She'eno Tov Kimo Mevushol or She'esh Bo Dvash. He says the minog is to use it, even if you have another wine that's not as good, as the Mevushol or as the Dvash. If I have a better one, then great. But that's the position of the Rama, is you can use the grape juice if nothing better is available. That's the position of the Rama. The Mishnah Brura in 19 says, "Dimein Shavin, if the two wines are the same, the Mavushal and the non-Mavushal, or the grape juice involved, Yesh Lachush Ladasa Yeso Hayesh Omim Shemach Mirim Bazeshal Ola Kadesh, then indeed, if they're equal, then you should go with the view that says better to use the non-Mavushal." So to make sure that we're clear on what we've said so far, grape juice in and of itself, the fact that it's not alcoholic, is fine for the Mizbeach, and therefore fine for Kiddush, like the Gemara in Bava Basra. However, you have the fact that it was heated. And even if pasteurization doesn't qualify for the purpose of Mevushal for Kashrus, it may qualify to disqualify it for the Mizbeach, leading the Rambam to disqualify it for Kiddush. That's the argument. The Shulchan Aruch says we follow Tosfos, that you can use Mevushal for Kiddush. That's the position of the Shulchan Aruch. The Rama and the Mishnah Brura say, yeah, but if you have equal quality of both. So why choose the Mevushal? Use the non-Mevushal. The Rav Soloveitchik, tried to satisfy the Rambam. And this is why, Byron, I said that you had to hold off from before. If you take a look at number 20, which is from the same paragraph that I excerpted in number 11, Uminag Rabbeinu haya lahachmir kedas harambam shelo lekadesh al mitz anavim sheu mevushal velo al yayin shosifu bo sukar, that the Rav's practice was that he would not make kiddush on grape juice or on sweetened wine. He would use the grape juice for the other three cups, but for the first cup, as well as for Kiddush on a random Shabbos, he would use non-Mevushal. As a matter of psak, I just say a quick canvas. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Rav Moshe, Rav Ovadia Yosef, Rav Yashiv, and Rav Felder, meaning Rav Felder Senior, that's all. All permitted the grape juice for Kiddush. Some of them noted the preference for satisfying the Rambam as the Rav does. But certainly, if you have somebody who knows that they're not going to be able to have a proper Seder by using wine, meaning it's already going to have an impact on them, so what are they doing? We have a clear line of psak permitting use of grape juice. Why start trouble? Yeah, for the problems that we mentioned before, that it's not chashuv or it doesn't bring joy, you can add a little wine, and that'll take care of that problem. Adding a little wine isn't going to take care of the mevushal problem. If you really believe that mevushal isn't acceptable, then this isn't going to do anything. But that's its own discussion.
And pasteurization is bishul.
And assuming pasteurization equals bishul for these purposes, which I have to say is not ironclad, but it seems like a reasonable argument. And the truth of the matter is that many people do rely on it. In other words, many people will rely on pasteurization like bishul. It's a machlokes, but you see people do it. You see the bottles from Israel, the Tepperberg ones, they write Mevushal al Yedei Pasteur. And I always wonder what that means. Does that mean it's Mevushal? Does that mean it's Pasteur? What are they trying to say? I looked into it years ago, but I don't remember what I found. Okay. Last bit. I had wine at the time. The last bit. Is there a preference for a particular color of grape juice? So when you deal with Kiddush, the Gemara is cryptic. The Gemara in Bava Basra, in source number 21. Excuse me. The Gemara there is trying to figure out what we are excluding for Kiddush, because the Gemara had said, Rav had said on Tzadi Zayin Abad Aleph, that you can only use wine that's suitable for the Mizbeach. So the Gemara wants to know, what are you excluding? So it says, Ve'elu lema'ute, are you trying to exclude Yayin Kushi, a black, a dark wine, Borak, which we assume is a white, like a very white wine, Helistone, or wine out of the cellar, or wine from raisins, Vatanya, Bechulo no Yavivim Hevi Kasher, but we already have a brisa that says, no, all of these B'dievet are good on the Mizbeach, and therefore they're good L'chatchila for Kiddush, like we've already said. So that can't be what's disqualified. And then further along, Ba'amine Rav Kahana Chamuad Rav Misharshia Me'Rava, Rav Kahana, the father-in-law of Rav Misharshia, asks Rava, Chamar Chivaryon Mahu. What about Chamar Chivaryon? What does Chivaryon mean? White. Chivaryon means white. So Amar Lei, and to which he quotes a pasuk, Al Tere Yayin Kiyis Adam. This is a warning against drinking wine, the pasuk in Mishlei, and it says, don't look at the wine when it is red. So I have two problems as I read this Gemara. Number one, why did you mention Borak and then separately Chivaryon? That's number one, if they're both white wines. And number two, what was your conclusion? Don't look at wine when it is red. That's like, you know, I'm quoting some ancient Far East adage. I don't understand how this pasuk in Mishlei answered the question. So Rashbam's approach is to say that what the Gemara is doing is it's rejecting Borak and Chivaryon. The person asked the question about Chivaryon because he wasn't familiar with the first reference to Borak. And Altera Yayin Kiyas Adam is saying, real wine is red. Source number 22. Kiyas Adam, Shemeshachar Yosem Idai. If it's red, then it is very intoxicating. Alma Yayin Adom Kodem Lenesachim Deshechar Ksibu. You see that red wine is the ideal for the libations on the Mizbeach because the Torah uses the term Shechar there, that which intoxicates. Parenthetically, I can only think of one reason why the red wine would be more intoxicating than the white wine. How do you make red wine as opposed to white wine?
With the peels. With the
skins. You take the pomace, the peels and the skins, right? And you submerge them into the juice.
Or yeast.
So maybe, right, maybe you have more bacteria. There is something called the noble rot that's on the skin of the grape. And maybe that causes increased fermentation and therefore it will be more alcoholic. That's my only theory for why the red wine would have been considered more intoxicating.
Can you just let any of them ferment longer, making it stronger?
Unless it doesn't have a sufficient quantity of yeast. I don't know. But it's just a theory here. It has nothing to do with the white grape versus the red grape. But the point is that Rashbam says that color is an issue. And you specifically want color in the wine that you're going to use for Kiddush. You should use red specifically. The Beis Yosef disagreed with the Rashbam. He says color is not the issue, and he bases himself on the Rambam. The Rambam in his commentary to the Mishnah, and he brings it in Mishnah Torah in source number 23. Excuse me. Says that what matters for the Nesachim is simply taste. The issue is, it's the end of number 23. I'm going to stop reading inside, just we have like 5 minutes left. But the Rambam says taste is what matters. The Tashbates writes as well that it's in the Tashbates Aleph Pei Hei that natural white is fine. The Tur accepted white wine for Kiddush as well because we see he accepts it for the Arba Kosos. So the answer of the Beis Yosef is that what the Gemara was saying is actually that we accept Chivaryon, and the point of Altera Yayin Kiyis Adam is to say that there is wine that is mit adem, there is wine that is red, and there is wine that's not red. Don't look at wine when it is red, indicates there's also such a thing as wine that is not red. And so the non-red wines are also called wine. And so the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, in source number 24, Mekashin al Yayin Lavan. You're allowed to use white wine. The Mishnah Berurah jumps in source number 25 and says, but if you can get red wine, wouldn't that be better? Let's satisfy everybody. Why not satisfy the Rashbam as well? But at its core, white wine is fine for Kiddush. Clear? What about the arbikosos? So here, the Gemara in Psachim says, in number 26, Rabbi Yehuda says you need to have the appearance, the taste and appearance of wine, and he quotes you that pasuk of Al Tere Yayin Kiyis Adam, and the Rashbam writes that means it should be red. You want to have specifically a red wine on this. Rabbi Yosef Karo does not quote that. However, the Taz in number 27 says something you are probably familiar with. The idea that the wine should be red like the blood of the Jews in Mitzrayim. Because of the blood of the Jews in Egypt. And he mentions the blood libels, which made this a really bad idea. But that's a source for saying that the wine that you use at the Seder should be red. And the poskim there do quote that. So in Rabbi Yosef Karo, in the Shulchan Aruch, number 28, regarding Pesach, says, yeah, for the Seder, use red wine. The Rama says, unless white wine is better, in parentheses there. But that's the deal. Last point within this. What if I like white? Can I add a little bit of red grape juice to my white wine in order to color it? And that way I'll have the red color. So the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Ayin Hey, which I brought you in number 29, has a discussion about whether someone who shechts is guilty of tzoveya, is guilty of coloring. And as explained by Rashi, it means that the neck of the animal gets the blood on it. And that's an act of coloring the neck. Well, whether it's Yom Tov or Shabbos, right? It would be a concern for tzoveya. Tzoveya is not allowed whether it's Shabbos or Yom Tov.
Right, but on...
Can't just be there.
With the
shaking. Correct. Yeah. Correct. So, rushing a little bit, but the general rule that we have is ein tzivia ba'ochlin. There's no concern for coloring things if you're talking about food. That's a basic principle. The Beis Yosef in source number 31 states it. He quotes the Urayim. I looked for the Urayim and the Shibolei Aleket that he quotes inside, and I could not find them. But the position of the Beis Yosef is that there's no such thing as coloring food. There's no isser. There's no problem. And that's what he brings in the Shulchan Aruch in source number 32. He talks about adding saffron to food. Saffron has a strong orange color, and he's not concerned about it. And he talks about coloring bread with fruit juice, and he's not concerned about that either. He says there's no such thing as dyeing food. The Rama's position is also Ein Tzviya Ba'ochlin in source number 33. There is no problem whatsoever, and he actually mentions the issue of wine. Take a look at 33. V'shamati me'aba mori. He says, I heard from my father. Sheshama me'arab Avram mitz. De'asur liten yayin adom l'toch yayim lavan b'shabes mishum tzoveya. I heard that Rav Avram mitz said you're not allowed to add red wine to white wine on Shabbos because you are coloring the wine. But he says, l'fi divrei bal yireim, according to the yireim, de'ein tzviya ba'ochlin. There is no issue of dyeing food. Nira d'zagam ken shari. This appears to be permitted. Nothing wrong with it. The stance of the Achronim on the Shulchan Aruch is also there's no issue of tzivia, there's no issue of dying if you're talking about food. And there are many sources that you could bring on this. The Prima Gadim says, after all, if it's for eating, it's not going to be durable. It's not going to last. So therefore, there's no problem. There's a Sephardi practice which the Tzitz Eliezer quotes. The Tzitz Eliezer is in Yudalit Memzayin Aleph, a practice that on the Shabbos before or after a wedding, they take water and they add red syrup to it and they pass it around for people to make a toast on this. And he says, ain't tzviya ba'ochlin, there's no issue of coloring it. The only exception is if you don't intend to eat it. What if you intend to sell it to somebody else? So then the Mishnah Berurah isn't happy in source number 34. If it's in order to sell it, you want to improve it to get purchasers, that's a different story. Despite all of the above, despite the fact that everything we've said in the last 5 minutes included the words ein tzviya ba'ochlin, nonetheless, the Mishnah Berurah and others want you to add the lighter color to the darker one. Even though there's no issue with Tzviya Ba'ochlin, the Shaar HaTzion in source number 35 says, Tovio Sershia Ara Hamayim Latocha Essence. He's dealing with a tea question. right? So the water is light colored and the essence is dark. So he says better to add the water into the essence rather than the other way around. You add the lighter color into the darker one, assuming that the laws of Bishul will permit it, which are, you know, their own discussion. So that's considered to be better. So if you have white wine and red wine, and you want to use the white wine, but you want it to be red, so you should add the white to the red rather than adding the red to the white, according to the Sharat Siyun. I added one note at the end for diabetics because someone emailed me asking about diabetes. It's very important to be very careful with this because it's not so simple and straightforward. On the one hand, grape juice enters the bloodstream very quickly, and so it can be dangerous for people with high blood pressure, with high blood sugar, excuse me. But someone with low blood sugar should opt for the grape juice because alcohol in the wine can inhibit the liver's release of glucose into the blood. So the bottom line is, a diabetic should see the doctor and find out what's best to use. I gave you a reference there, though, to a great Pesach guide for diabetics that I've seen online. Thank you very much.